the kind of really significant thing, I think, for me was just seeing the whole two-week process encapsulated here. So the idea that Pharaoh's daughter comes down to wash at the river. So we come to the text, and there's an affection that's active, but there's a lack of understanding as to what's here. We come at it, and initially it's kind of like intellectual work, and we bring our own sense of things, and we get caught up in the literal elements of it, reading it as history perhaps. But this process of washing at the river, there's a desire, even though it's sort of caught up in our own stuff, there's still this desire to be at the river. And as we are there, what we see is that that willingness to be in the state of being washed carries within it an opportunity to find something new. And I think it's seeing the ark, and this is our religious impulse that enables what is of a higher order to be present in the midst of the falsity. And then there's the whole process of the recognition. So there's this sort of drawing to investigate. And as we respond to that, then there's this cry which elicits a different affection. And there's the opening of the ark. And the interesting thing about the ark is that you've got bitumen and pitch, which is the letter of the word understood according to appearances. And then you have the letter itself, which is the material that the ark is constructed from, the reeds. And then within it, you have what is living at an inmost. So you have a threefold image. And that investigation, what's present, so the sister becomes present, or truths that are of the church, things that are of a genuine spiritual nature, are also present and become active within us. And there's a recognition that goodness needs to be instilled where there is truth. And to me, that sort of illustrates the need to practice, because that's what good is. Good is putting truth into practice. And initially, it's always going to be a state of something that is tender and vulnerable, could easily be dismissed. You know, those sort of initiations that come from the word, those sort of slight insights that seem to even contradict our usual way of thinking about things spiritually. These things can be easily dismissed, but there's this aspect of those things that have been built up over time that are described as sister, things of a rational nature, spiritual things, that gives us space to be able to hold what's arising and just to see what it's about. And then there's the whole sense of how Pharaoh's daughter, who says for Moses' mother to take the child and to suckle it, this has to do with the Lord operating on the basis of accommodating our states in order to see that what is of a deeper aspect of the word can be nurtured and developed, so that it can lead ultimately to our deliverance from being caught up in Egypt. So if you think of the ark as the letter of the word, person, place, time and space stuff, and you think of Moses as what is the internal meaning, there's this affection for scientifics or memory knowledges. That affection is willing to investigate things. And as that process unfolds, there has to be a way of moving us so that we become more attached to the word itself and what it offers. And that communication is described here as sadness. And so whatever that sadness is spiritually, it is something that gives rise to compassion. So it's some kind of affection that's at work. So it's the process whereby there's an elicited response so that we enter more fully into the word itself. So in terms of our own experience of the text, it's about moving us from the sense of the letter into something that can actually begin to apply to our inner life. And you can think of the crying in that sense in terms of a form of communication, which is influx, spiritually speaking. And, you know, from the Lord's perspective, the Lord's not sad in the way that we get sad. Sadness describes a process whereby an affection is able to be worked upon that can draw us further into the things that are going to save us, which is the word, and elevate our understanding. So you have the letter, and when you read the letter, if you get caught in the historical aspect of the letter, you will project out, or you actually project away from where you need to be being taken so far as the meaning of the text is concerned. So the letter itself can either be interpreted externally or internally. And if you interpret it externally, it closes off access to what is more interior. But if you move interiorly, so you read the text and, you know, a confrontation of the Lord with the Pharisees, if you immediately view that in terms of the word working within your own mind and life, drawing out self-righteousness and whatever it is, but in this case, let's just say it's a self-righteous attitude that you see that's being worked with, then you're in the here and now and you're working with the word as something living and transforming in the moment. Whereas if you are caught up in thinking about it in terms of Jesus having a confrontation with the religious Jewish leaders 2,000 years ago, it doesn't open anything internally. You remain caught in person, place, time, and space. So the way the word is structured is to meet every state. It can meet every state. So even our religiosity, it can meet us in there. There's a cry, because this is us, this religiosity stuff is us. Everything described here is the process whereby we being caught in person, place, time, and space as we approach the text, particularly in that initial approach, and then there's a cry, which is communication. It's influx. It's getting your attention, initiating affection so that you will open the box. So even in that state, which is very distant from a genuine spiritual life, that's the initiation right there. And the initiation is the ark covered in bitumen and pitch, which also, of course, the bitumen and pitch is the letter of the word understood in terms of person, place, time, and space. That's what that is. But within it is the law divine, the divine truth, ultimately. So the whole thing describes our own experience of the text. It's right there. It also describes the incarnation. That's what's going on here. That's what's being described. So it's all here. And if you are of a more natural disposition or in a more natural state, the text can still meet you in that state. But that's not where you want to stay. What you need is for the actual affections and the thoughts that come from those affections, you want those to be transformed so that you can think spiritually, you can think from first principles,